if you will, turn in your Bibles to Psalm 23. 23rd Psalm. If you'd like to, why don't you stand and let's read it in unison. Pause at the punctuation and we'll try to stay together. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Be seated. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for the opportunity to gather together to preach it and to hear it today. We ask your blessing upon this service. Give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give. And suit your word to the need of every person here this morning. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I was mentioning, I guess it was last week maybe, that this is one of the favorite passages of all people of all time. The 23rd Psalm, written by David. And it's just a tremendous, tremendous passage. I always have a little hesitancy about preaching from these really famous verses. I like to go somewhere else because I don't know that I can do them justice. You understand? When you're looking at something like this that is so beloved by so many people, you wonder, wow, what am I going to say? You know, what can I do besides read the thing? I mean, it's just such a blessing to your heart. Now, the Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. And part of it I see in this psalm that he wrote right here. Because as I looked down, I see all these beautiful things, wonderful promises. It's read at probably almost every funeral that there is. It is read in homes. Many times I've gone into a hospital room and say, what passage would you like me to read? Maybe 23rd Psalm. You know, it's over and over and over again. I guess one of the first things that I ever learned, I learned the Beatitudes and the 23rd Psalm in Sunday school when I was a little kid. So I guess I've known it an awful long time. And it just has an awful lot of beauty in it. So I'm not going to be able to do it justice, but I would like to show you something from it. Three things. Tremendous statements of faith by David. And one of the reasons why David was so much a man like God after God's own heart is some of the things I'm going to show you right out of this psalm here. Statements of faith that just go beyond anybody almost in his generation. Statements of faith that would be very similar to what we hold today in the New Testament, what we hold today in the gospel. The first one I want to show you after we read it, and you know there's a lot of beautiful things here, but the first thing is, I shall not want. What a statement. Now why? Because the Lord's my shepherd. Amen. Why can David come up and make a statement, I shall not want? Why, one of your biggest problems is wanting, 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 isn't it? I want this, I want that, I want more. Someone asked a very rich man, I think it was Mr. Rockefeller, and said, how much money is enough? He said, more. And that's the way people are, you know. It don't matter. Some of you live on $20,000 a year, and some of you live on $100,000 a year. But everybody wants more. I don't hear the people that have got $1 million in the bank say, I don't want any more. Now, there are a few that get that way. Mr. Carnegie, he had so many millions from selling U.S. Steel, his interest in steel, that he went around building libraries, trying to give it away. He said, I spent this many years making it. I'm going to spend the rest of my life giving it away. And he gave away multiplied millions of dollars when $1 million was a lot more than it is right now. And yet, most of us don't think that way. Maybe one reason why we have so much frustration in our lives, maybe one reason why we don't have the peace that we ought to have in our heart is we want too much. We don't want the right things. Now here's David. He said, what a statement of faith. The Lord is my shepherd. That's just like you saying, Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus Christ is my Savior. Now David comes out with a statement here. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What a statement as far as I'm concerned. I shall not want. Why? Well, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That's the kind of shepherd I have, he says. He leads me beside the still waters. He doesn't take me over some craggy mountain streams. He takes me by the still waters where I can eat easily. Everything will go smooth for me. He restoreth my soul. Amen. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Well, think about the New Testament and what Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 6. And thinking of this idea, I shall not want. I wonder if maybe a lot of our wants are created by television, magazines, newspapers, and advertisements. These people, they know what they're doing. They're in business to make money. And they give you things you think you can't live without. And so most of you are way over in debt than what you ought to be because you have all these things that you can't live without when your parents lived without them, all right. Well, look in Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 25. Matthew 6, 25. See if this doesn't come or somewhat similar to what David was saying. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now when I read that passage and thought about what David said back over here in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters, and he restoreth my soul. And I think of this, take no thought for your life. What you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, and what you're going to put on. I heard a missionary make a statement. I didn't hear the missionary make it. I read a statement by a missionary that it was a veteran missionary that had been on the field over 20 years. And he made the statement, most of my frustrations are because of my abundance. Now you just think about it. You get frustrated with your car, but that's an abundance that you have a car. You get frustrated because your air conditioning doesn't work right. Well, isn't it a wonderful thing to have an air conditioning? You get frustrated because your computer messes up and fouls you up. And yet that is a luxury to have a computer. Why, you live in a time when you have all of these things around you and you think because of these things in your life, that's what your life's made of. But it isn't. That's not the essence of life. That's not where peace comes from. You think if you can buy that new car, you're just going to be happy every day. No, you won't. No, you won't. And that new car, as soon as it gets a bunch of trash in the back seat and a few other things and the kids spit up on it, it's not a new car anymore, is it? Oh, it's just that old car that's causing me trouble. Whew, man, Solomon would love to have your 225 horses. He'd have traded his stable for them big time. He says another thing here. Which of you, all of you worry warts, are you a worry wart? Which of you worrywarts can add one cubit unto your stature? That's a cubit. That length right there. That's a cubit. Now, actually, I'm getting shorter. I'm not getting longer. You know, somewhere along the line, I've lost an inch and a half. I don't know how long I'll have to live before I really get down to be a small man, short man. Can you with your thinking add height to your body? What he said, if you can't do that, what are you worried about anything else? If you can't do that which is least, what are you worried about the big things? I mean, you and I worry ourselves to death. We put ourselves through so many problems that we don't need to go through. And the reason why we don't need to go through is because the Lord is our shepherd. The Lord is, we're just a part of His flock. And we're walking through this life, and He leads us along the way. You know, as I get old, and I'm getting older and older, praise the Lord, it's better than the alternative at the present time. Just got a notice today that one of my high school buddies died this year. I didn't know it. I wrote him a letter, and he came back. He's gone. Listen, it's happening everywhere all around. You still alive? You still breathing? Praise God. Amen. It's a good day. Every day you get up, it's a good day. Amen. But he says right here, if you can take care of that, why are you taking such thought over your clothes for your raiment? You worried because you don't have $150 tennis shoes to wear? You worried because you don't have some sports jacket that costs $500 or $700 down here at Penny's? Got Spurs name all over it, and it's made of leather and so on and so forth. I walked in there one time. I said, well, that's a nice jacket. How much is that? $695. Well, it's too rich for my blood. It doesn't get that cold in San Antonio. I don't need a jacket that bad. He says, consider the lilies of the field. How beautiful they are. He said, I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory, David probably never dressed like Solomon. David amassed the great riches and Solomon learned how to spend it. Solomon arrayed in all his glory. He was so glorious, other kings envied him. The Queen of Sheba traveled a long, long distance to hear his wisdom, to see his beauty, to see his wealth, and to see all these things. He said, Solomon, in all his beauty, in all his glory, wasn't arrayed like God did those lilies. So what are you worried about? Look on at verse 31. Therefore, take no thought. What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Now, I want you to understand something. Jesus is not saying, don't work. He's not saying, don't plan. He's not saying, don't get you in a college education, or get you a talent, or get you a way to work, make a living. He's not saying, lay around on your couch and see what God will do for you. He's saying, what's the emphasis of your life? How are you running things day by day? Amen. What's your reason for living? What's your reason for going on? He says in verse 32, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Now, he's speaking to Jews, and he's speaking of Gentiles who were unbelievers. Let me transfer that a little bit from Christians to unbelievers. What is the world looking for out there? What's important to the world out there? The kind of clothes you wear. That's important to them. What's important to me is that you're modest. Amen. That you're covered. That you're clean. It doesn't matter whether it's the most expensive stuff or bought from the right names and brands and whatever. That's not important. That's what the world thinks of. You ought to have better sense. Amen. He's saying here, that's the way the world thinks. You ought to think differently. You seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, what's Jesus telling you? The Lord's your shepherd. Jesus is your Lord. Will you put him first?
Amen.
He knows you need to eat. He knows you need clothes on your back. He knows you need transportation. He knows you need a home. He knows you need to take care of your family. All of these things will take their proper place if you put Jesus first.
Amen.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. We've gone to verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I doubt in my life if I've ever been in as much danger as David was over and over again in his life. David, man, people are trying to kill him all the time. Brother Trinidad was talking about in last hour about warriors and soldiers and the Bible and great soldiers. David was a great soldier, maybe one of the greatest. His life was in danger in more than one way from the enemies of the Lord and from even his own king, Saul. He was hated by many people. His own son rose up and tried to kill him. And I think of all the blood that went on there, you know. And yet David makes a statement here. I do not have a clue at what period of David's life he wrote the 23rd Psalm. I don't know whether it was as a very young man or as a very old king. But he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? The Lord is my shepherd. Because the Lord is my shepherd, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. And we just sang it this morning. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. About 100 years ago, there was a little old lady she was a little bit off. And she saw people following her. There were two people following her everywhere she went. And she went up to her pastor. And she told him, says, Pastor, I'm afraid. I've got these two men following me all the time, everywhere. And she did this over a period of time. And finally the pastor realized she didn't have any real, literal men following her. But he thought, how can I help her out? And so one day she came to him again and she said, Pastor said, I'm just so afraid. I'm just so scared. I've got these two men following me. He said, let me show you who they are. And he took her to the 23rd Psalm and said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. He said, it's the goodness and mercy of the Lord following you. And she was happy from then on. Could you say a statement of faith like this? Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Some of you are young and you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. And how many heartaches you're going to have. And how many troubles are going to come in your life. And they're going to come. Oh, they are. Nobody walks through this life without heartache. Nobody walks through this life without troubles. Everybody's car breaks down. I've seen them hauling Mercedes and Volvos on wreckers, you know. Just because you got a Mercedes or a Volvo or a Lamborghini, there's a wreck car ready to help you out and haul you in when it won't work. Troubles are a part of life. It's not that you're going to have a life without troubles. You need to have the right attitude in the troubles.
Amen.
And here's David making a tremendous statement. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not fear. I will not fear. Mercy and truth, goodness and mercy are going to follow me all the days of my life. I'm 67 years old. Raised 5 kids, got 13 grandchildren. I've pastored a lot of people. I've been preaching 46 years. I've been an evangelist and a missionary and a pastor. I've gone through some troubles. I've made some enemies. Not that I meant to make them, but I made them. You know what? My life's been so good. I feared so many things would come my way, and they never came. That's the truth. I've laid in bed at night planning because this is coming and this is coming and what will I do this way and what will I do that way? And I never had to cross that bridge. I've learned to trust God. Amen. And the longer I've known Him, the more I trust Him. So you don't have everything in your life you think you want. Bless your heart. There are a lot of people have things in their life they wish they didn't have. And some of the things you want may bring to you things you wish you didn't have. You might be better off just exactly the way you are and trusting God as your great shepherd to lead you where He wants to lead you. That takes faith. Tremendous statement of faith. I will fear no evil. Now, over and over in this Bible, Jesus comes and says, fear not. Remember, He's walking on the water? Big storm. Jesus walking along on the water, and He walks up to the boat, and He got 12 grown men, about half of them professional fishermen, and they're all scared. And what does He tell them? Fear not. And when He steps in the boat, everything gets calm, and they're right where they're supposed to be. Isn't that wonderful? Another time, there's a big storm, and Jesus is sleeping. Didn't get a lot of chance to sleep. You ever criticize somebody for sleeping in the day? Maybe they were up all night praying. Chances are not, but that's a possibility. Jesus is laying asleep in the boat. And these professional fishermen are fearing for their life. And they wake Him up and tell Him, Lord, carest Thou not that we perish? Isn't that stupid? How could any boat sink with Jesus in it? Now, come on, get your faith up a little bit. I mean, you know, sort of lift your eyes up a little bit and get, you know, hang on a star out there somewhere. Don't have your faith down looking at your feet. Your feet aren't very sound, not very safe. But Jesus, no boat could sink with Jesus in it. You couldn't die in His presence. Anybody with whatever sickness or problem or difficulty come up to Him, ask Him, He just healed them over and over and over again. Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, I will not fear. John, over in the book of Revelation, the very first chapter, he sees the glorified Lord. Chapter 1, you want to see what Jesus looks like now? He don't look like He looked like in the Gospels. Take a look, read Revelation chapter 1, you see what Jesus looks like now. He's glorious. He is majestic. And John, that beloved disciple, when he sees Him, he falls at His feet as dead. You ever been struck dumb? Well, man, he's struck down. He doesn't know what to say. He's scared to death. This bright, shining, powerful being standing before Him. And what does Jesus say? Fear not. Fear not. With Jesus as your shepherd, you really don't have to fear. Amen. I don't know how big your faith is. I don't know how far you've grown in your Christianity or your knowledge of the Bible or your knowledge of God. But God is a good God. Amen. God is a faithful Father. I don't know how your father was. You might have had a sorry father. I haven't had a good father. But oh, I've even got a better heavenly Father. Amen. And everything that comes to me, be it blindness, sickness, death, has to come through my Father's will before it reaches me. Can you by faith receive it? Gladly? This is my Father's will. This is my Father's will. There were some young ladies that were talking to Elizabeth Elliot in a conference one time, and this one girl says, I know it's God's will for me to be married. She said, are you married? I said, no. I said, how do you know it's God's will for you to be married? Well, I just know it is. She said, well, evidently it isn't now. You're not married. So it hadn't come about. You know, sometimes we presume upon God that what we want, He has to give us. But God in my life has not answered some of my prayers. I'm thankful that I didn't get all my prayers answered, because I sure prayed for the wrong thing several times in my life. Oh, I just knew this is the way I want to go. I just knew God had to give me this. I just knew. And oh, I feared some things. Oh, I feared some things. And then when they came, they were a blessing. You know, you might walk through life a little better if you had a little bit something of like the faith of David. I will not fear. Look what he's talking about. The valley of the shadow of death. You fear death? Well, by the grace of God, I don't fear death. I fear suffering. I'd like to go out quick. A nice massive heart attack or a great big car wreck or quick. But I don't fear death. He said, you prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You got enemies? You got enemies? Oh, yeah. I got somebody that doesn't like me. Nobody's shooting at me right now. Nobody's trying to cut me off or stop me from eating or starve my family out right now. I don't have quite enemies like David had enemies, but even if you have enemies, he said, I will not fear. Why? How can you say, I will not fear? The Lord is my shepherd.
Amen.
Look at another passage, a passage of Paul over in Philippians chapter 4. One of my favorite passages. But I think of it in the term of, I will not fear. I will not fear. The Lord is my shepherd. I will not fear. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. I will not fear. Well, that's a New Testament doctrine right there. That you can have joy in the midst of trouble, joy in the midst of war, joy in the midst of loss. He said, rejoice in the Lord when everything's going good for you. That ain't what he said. Rejoice in the Lord when you get your prayers answered. That's not what he said. Rejoice in the Lord when you're healthy and strong and young. That's not what he said. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. And then look what he says in verse 6. Be careful for nothing. It takes a little faith to do this, don't you think?
Right.
Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving.
Amen.
You know what? You'd get through a lot of circumstances in life a whole lot easier if before you started praying, you started thanking God.
Amen.
You got all these troubles, you got these burdens, you got these enemies, you got these problems, you got these frustrations. You ought to start out by thanking God. That's what he said. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And notice, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God. The peace of God that passeth all understanding. It takes faith to have the peace of God. You have to trust your shepherd. Can you trust your guide? Can you trust the one that's leading you? Or are you always second guessing? Are you always fearful that the one that's leading you is going to be wrong, going to make a mistake, going to get you caught, going to let you down? I don't think that way about the Lord. I don't think he's going to get me caught. I don't think he's ever going to let me down.
Amen.
I believe I can trust him. And that's what he's saying right here. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. David said in verse 4, I will fear no evil because the Lord is my shepherd. Now look down at verse 6, the very last phrase in the psalm. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How in the world can a king living 1,000 years before Jesus Christ make such an audacious statement? I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen.
That's a statement of faith. That's almost New Testament faith, brother. That looks so much like the New Testament, it is absolutely beautiful. I love it. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, some of you can say that in here right now.
Amen.
Jesus is my shepherd.
Amen.
Jesus is my Savior. And because of what Jesus Christ has done for me, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Praise Jesus.
Isn't that wonderful? I just thought those three tremendous statements of faith. The Lord is my shepherd, therefore I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, therefore I will not live in fear. The Lord is my shepherd, and therefore I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen.
Look in John chapter 10, verse 26. Let me tell you how you could have this peace, have this faith, and have these promises, and God will give you this peace. In John chapter 10, verse 26, he said, "But ye believe not, because you're not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep, the Lord is my shepherd, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish.
Amen.
Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish."
Amen.
I want to tell you today, David was a man of faith. He believed in his shepherd. He trusted in his Savior. And God Almighty blessed him. My friend, you can be saved today. You have to believe. What do you believe? You believe that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah and the Savior. Believe that He is the one mediator between God and men. That's the man Christ Jesus. That's not anyone else. It's only Christ that can save a soul. Only Christ that can change a life. And I'll tell you what. Jesus Christ died upon the cross of Calvary. He paid your debt.
Amen.
That you might come to God with His paying for your sins completely forgiven. And if you'll trust Him today, He'll save your soul and change your life.
Amen.
And my Christian friend, how much do you trust God? You live 3,000 years beyond David. You have a lot more Bible than David ever had. And yet what David said, can you say? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I will not fear. The Lord is my shepherd, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We're going to sing number 249. If the Lord has spoken to your heart, this altar is open. If He's talked to you as a Christian, a believer, God wants to touch you, bless you, then you come down. If you're here without Jesus Christ and you want to be saved, you say, "I want Jesus as my shepherd. I want Jesus as my Savior." Come on down here and grab me by the hand and say, "Brother Kincaid, I want to be saved." I'll get somebody to pray with you.
Amen.
Let's sing.